ba bu ba bu ba 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 bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba bum ba bu ba bu ba ba.
Dane, you tell me, when Wendy's here, and she's not here, you're here, obviously. When, you knew that. I'm not telling you anything you don't know.
What, really?
When Wendy is here, she always says, during the Booba Booba Boo song, she says the day of the week. She always questions it. She's never sure, but she'll go, Wednesday. Is it Wednesday? I think it's Wednesday.
What day
it seems
is
like
it?
Wednesday. It might not be Wednesday. I don't know. Is it Wednesday?
Following a long line of Wendy's situations, Monday?
Monday? Well, right. See, that's the thing is, I don't want, that's her hook. That's her calling card. I don't think.
Oh, sorry. I should have done this.
No. Don't feel bad. You didn't know. But I would feel like I was treading on her water. If I were to do that, or if I was say to you, people want to know what day it is. So during the boo 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 song, could you just say Monday? But then question it. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to do it then.
No.
In fact, I retract my previous questioning Monday statement. And I'm going to leave it up to people.
It's her. Remember how Johnny Carson would swing the golf club at the end?
Yes.
Like he would do his monologue and then he would swing and you go, that's Johnny's thing. Like if you were a guy in show business, you couldn't swing a golf club after talking. People go, you stole that from Johnny Carson.
It'd be like a cheap knockoff.
Right.
Yeah.
Or I do my tennis serve.
Like you always do that,
that's
right?
That's my trademark.
I was going to do that, but I'm thinking, Bill's got
that.
That's
my thing.
I got to think of something new.
You got to do a different one. You know what would be a good one for you would be to pretend you had a ball and paddle. And just like, no, actually, as I'm doing it, it looks obscene. Don't do it. We'll come up with one.
You're
for
doing
you
like a highlight serve or something.
Right.
It's more of a running thing.
Yeah.
A big arm swing.
It would confuse. I think the highlight community would embrace you and say, finally, some attention. But for everybody else, they'd go, I don't understand it. Why does he do it?
I'd have street cred with like probably upwards of 40 people, and then everybody else would be confused.
If that, a lot of Basque listeners would enjoy that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's where highlight is popular in your Basque communities.
Oh, I got to get out
there.
Did
you know that?
Yeah, I got
to. I used to go when we'd go to Florida. I'd go to watch them play highlight. For people who don't know, it is called the world's fastest sport, and it is. It's amazing to watch the athleticism of these highlight players.
The highliers.
The highliers. Is that what they are?
Yeah.
I guess so. Yeah.
It's not the highlightonians or anything.
Here's a little betting tip, too, if you're going to watch highlight and bet on it. Esteban, always the winner. I don't know why, but he is always the winner.
Well, Esteban, he retired from highlight because of the knee injury, of course, but his hands were always working. And if you remember him from his late night infomercial days where he sort of assumed the Zorro role.
Yeah.
And so he's got his like Zorro
of highlight
costume and he plays guitar.
Yeah.
Esteban.
Yeah. He's so good. Oh, he's so good. All right. I bring a story to the table that I'm going to warn everybody is so unpleasant. This may be, now this year, I'm trying to think of what has been our most unpleasant story. We've had a couple that have been kind of on the dark side, but this is right up among them. This is a story about a guy in Baltimore who went to see a production of Fiddler on the Roof and decided during the production of Fiddler on the Roof to yell out Heil Hitler, Heil Trump during the performance of Fiddler on the Roof.
Was he doing the arm motion? Because that one is also taken.
A man stood up. Yes, it is. A man stood up and gave a Nazi salute. So the answer to your question is yes. And yelled, Heil Hitler, Heil Trump, at a performance of Fiddler on the Roof, leaving some audience members anticipating the worst, such as a shooting. Now think about that. If you go to this thing, you're not expecting any of this. You're expecting a performance of Fiddler on the Roof, not for a man to do this.
An iconic production, a very famous, you know, theatrical and cinematic thing. Yes, of course.
Some of both Zero Mostel and Topol's best work, in my opinion.
It was their best work.
They were both
admit that.
Excellent Tevyes. Video footage of the man escorted out of the Hippodrome in Baltimore on Wednesday night went viral after witnesses said the man stood up and shouted those words, Heil Hitler, Heil Trump, early in the intermission. So that's interesting to me that he did this during the intermission. It doesn't make it better. It doesn't make it worse. It just makes it interesting. Like, what happened at that moment during the intermission where he just said, I have to yell these things? What happened?
You know, it doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, ultimately, there's probably no good time to say any of those things. So it's not like the more appropriate time would have been, at this time. But so I don't know why you do it. In this day and age, everything is recorded, right? So everything goes viral, and every single kind of move, you know, is going to be, you know, thought of and I think critiqued from everyone.
Sure.
Around. So there's no escaping a really bad decision being kind of observed by everyone. We saw, I think there was something on the news. There was a group of kids going to their prom or something
in Wisconsin, Baraboo, Wisconsin.
And I think the photographer says, "Hey, like, put your hands up," and then they all just did that.
Right.
All but one of the kids.
This isn't right.
But then it is. There it is. And then it's, you know, on national news and it's thought of and brought up where it would have just been something that was really a bad and stupid idea.
Sarah, can you find, I thought I had this printed up, but I cannot find this in my pile of stories. There's an apology from this guy. No, yours is the same as mine. The original story happened on Friday. We found this on Friday. But now there's an apology. Now, so this is what this guy is saying. He's saying that people there in the theater perceived him as being like a white supremacist or a Nazi or a nationalist. And by yelling those things, based on
everything
his
he did.
Unfortunate series of words.
We don't know what outfit he was wearing.
Right.
You know.
But he says what he was doing was just the opposite. That he was drawing a comparison. He wanted the audience to be aware of the comparison between our current president and Adolf Hitler. So he felt that by yelling these things out, he would let people know. He says he feels horrible about this, that everyone's taking it the wrong way. But when you're at an event like this and you hear somebody yelling those things, I don't think you're connecting the dots. You're just going, there's a guy yelling Heil Hitler in the theater.
Yeah.
A fiddler on the roof.
Right. The context of the situation is really bad. And then also you've just got that there was no kind of an explanation. He didn't get up there and say, hey, you know, it's
just
like
so
this.
You understand, here's why I'm yelling this. No, there was nothing like that.
And even that, even with the best or at least a well thought out explanation, this just doesn't make any sense. It's just never a good, you know, why.
Here's my theory on this, all right? I always think that whenever you have an idea that's a big idea, right? The first thing you want to do is run it by somebody, right? I don't know that this guy ran this idea past anybody let's say this guy had a friend, right? So what you need to do, step one, is find a friend that you trust, somebody whose judgment you say is pretty fair.
That isn't David Duke or somebody, right?
Right?
Yeah, just got an objective friend.
Right. It cannot be. Rule 1B.
Right.
Make sure the friend is not exalted
mystic cyclops or something. Right.
Right. Right. Make sure that they.
They may say, go with it. You just run with this one.
Maybe it's better to have two friends.
Right, a couple friends.
So let's say,
focus group.
Sarah, thank you. All right. So let's say this guy has a friend. So he trusts this friend and he says, Ronald, his friend's name is Ronald for the purpose of this argument.
Okay.
Ronald, I have an idea. I'm attending a theater production in a couple of days.
Was he part of the production or was he just an audience member?
He was an audience member.
Oh, wow.
He was not in Fiddler on the Roof.
Okay.
He did not play the role of Perchik.
Okay.
He was the guy who paid his money
to
see the production. And we don't know if he decided this in advance, like if he was thinking, boy, at some point during the show, I've got to yell something. You know, we don't know if this was a spur-of-the-moment thought or if he had pre-planned it. So this guy says, hey, Ronald, this is hypothetical. I'm attending
theoretical
a theater.
Hypothetical
situation. So the guy says, I have an idea. I'm going to see a show. And I thought that at some point during the show, maybe in the first act, maybe the second act, maybe intermission, we'll see how things play out. I'm going to stand up and I'm going to yell Heil Hitler. And then Ronald goes,
You're going to follow that up.
I'm not going to stop there. I'm going to get everybody's attention, certainly, by yelling Heil Hitler at a performance. And then once I've got their attention, then I will then say Heil Trump. So now you're Ronald and you hear this idea. What do you say to him?
If I'm Ronald, I'm saying, like, how are we friends? Do I know
right.
you? Like,
right.
Why are we friends?
Here's how Ronald. Even though this is a hypothetical situation,
Ronald is questioning,
I don't exist.
His whole relationship, right?
Yeah. Tell me more about that. Yeah. So even in a hypothetical situation, the other person would question it, right? So wouldn't you, as hypothetical Ronald, go, boy, you're certainly going to get attention, but don't do this.
Yeah,
wouldn't you advise him to maybe not do this?
Well, just the fact that he's pursued counsel, I think,
right,
makes you want to sit down and break it down, because I think the problem isn't necessarily, it's not like, you know, I get up and I want some Good and Plenty or
right,
whatever. This is like a situation.
Even that would be rude, to get
good
up
plenty,
to stand up during a production. Right. I have got to get some Good and Plenty.
I mean, because you can get them all. I really love Good and Plenty. They
but
have
then
it
people
at the
go,
snack bar.
What's wrong with that guy yelling about the Good and Plenty? But once you get Hitler involved and the president.
I would want to break down, okay, well, why is this important to you? And why do you think this, it's number one, let's just establish it's a terrible idea.
Horrible idea.
And you shouldn't do it. Beyond that,
right,
like, what made you think this was something that you should do?
That's why you got to run it by somebody.
Run it by somebody.
Because then, like, hypothetical Ron goes, oh, okay, so I get it. You're at the show.
I mean, explain it. Maybe I'll be like,
what play are you saying?
You know?
And if he goes, Fiddler. No. If you were going to see Cats, maybe I would do it. Or Oklahoma. Annie, Get Your Gun. But don't be doing that during Fiddler on the Roof. What are you doing?
Yeah.
That can't be good.
Well, here's the thing. And so we said it's all, you know, it's a misunderstanding. He was just trying to make some connections.
He feels horrible,
with some others.
He says.
But when you talk about it, now that we've established this is just a guy in the audience during, this is exactly the kind of thing. And I think, you know, we see it on the news, and thank goodness, you know, 99.9% of us have never, you know, actually been in that situation. But this is how we would imagine an active shooter situation happening.
Chaotic.
It's the kind of thing, you know, it's the kind of subject matter that might be a target.
Right.
And then you imagine a guy getting up and yelling, whether it's, you know, some kind of terrorist type thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Something negative about someone else or something inflammatory. I'm sure a lot of the people in the audience said, whoa, what's next?
Right. Right.
Right.
Now that this has happened, what can we expect next? The man who shouted Heil Hitler, Heil Trump at a Baltimore performance of Fiddler on the Roof apologized on Friday for his outburst.
To who? Did he do it during the performance? Like, I'm sorry.
He does everything
that's
this guy does.
I'm bad.
He went to a different performance. He went to a performance of Hamilton.
And
during intermission,
he apologized.
People were so confused. He has apologized for his outburst, saying he chose the wrong words. I'm going to underline that part. Hold on a second. Let me underline that.
What were the other words available?
Right. Sports scores. He could have done anything.
Bulls win.
Right. People are going, this is Baltimore. We want Ravens scores. What's wrong with you? He was attempting to compare the president to the Nazi leader. Okay. Anthony M. Drilonis II, or the 11th, if you don't speak Roman numeral, aged 58, said that the play, which tells the story of a Jewish family facing persecution in Tsarist Russia, reminded him of Trump's immigration policies. His comparison came out wrong and was beyond a mistake, he said during an interview at his home in Joppa. Instantly, it was like, oh my God, what did you do? Said Drilonis, who acknowledged that he had been drinking heavily before the show.
Okay.
I'm surprised to hear that.
Well, you know.
I'm very surprised to hear that he was drinking heavily.
I was thinking,
heavily.
Is it possibly that there was maybe, you know, maybe a language, or he didn't understand the impact
of
those
specific
words.
No, he's from Baltimore.
From
there.
Yeah, and then the drinking.
Yeah,
all
if
day.
You throw the drinking in.
A lot of times, you know, that's what you want. You drink all day, and you're thinking, I got to get some theater.
Right.
You want to head out for a nice night out.
Enough with the Jack Daniels. Let's see some Broadway musicals.
Right.
The thing that I can't stand is Trump spreading hatred. And what do? I spread hatred, he said.
Like he's hitting himself
so
in the head
logical,
with a shoe, like,
though.
bad me.
Well, how can you be so illogical and then be so logical? I think, Dane.
The drinking.
Going out on a limb, I think it could be the drinking.
It could be the drinking.
I think it could be. Drilonis' outburst came during the intermission of the show at the Hippodrome Theater on Wednesday evening. He was escorted from the theater's balcony by security, and police issued him a stop ticket, which is less serious than a citation. What's a stop ticket? I've
just
never
got
one.
Stop offending people.
Stop it.
Drilonis.
Anthony Drilonis II or 11th. Police spokesman Matt Jablow said that the words were protected by the First Amendment. I guess, but they always yell. They always say, don't yell fire in a theater. But
modern day, if you get up and you kind of have the trappings of what would feel like an active shooter yelling situation, some kind of terrorist,
you get a stop ticket.
I think that could be the equivalent of fire in a theater.
Man. What if he had done it during the actual play? Would there have been a stiffer penalty? Because he did it during intermission. Which, why? If you want to, let's say what he says here is true and he wanted to make his point about the comparison of Tsarist Russia to today's United States. wouldn't you, I'm trying to make sense of a nonsensical issue, wouldn't you do it right then and there and go, this scene clearly illustrates, you wouldn't do it during intermission.
Well, maybe during the play, it's people aren't paying attention. Maybe it's more difficult to be heard. Maybe he did say it then, too.
Yeah. People started running. Audience member Richard Scher said, I'll be honest, I was waiting to hear a gunshot. I thought, here we go.
Yep.
Scher said it was hard to focus on the play afterwards. Well, yeah, once the guy's out of the room, you go,
but
does
still,
anybody else have anything they want to yell out before we start act two? Anybody? My heart was just racing, he said. I didn't really pay attention to the second act. Well, he's got a lawsuit then.
No,
he could sue them.
Think about this, is that you don't necessarily know who, if there's other people in the audience
right.
from the same group. You don't have all the context at that point.
That's true.
You don't know that this is just a guy drinking all day on a Wednesday in Baltimore.
Right.
You know, you're not sure.
I know. Terlanis's actions earned swift condemnation from the public, particularly the Jewish community. On Friday, the Anti-Defamation League urged the Baltimore City State Attorney's Office to press charges against Terlanis. For those in attendance, this anti-Semitic outburst was a threatening, intimidating act of disorderly conduct. We have seen the devastating and tragic consequences of hateful rhetoric repeatedly in recent weeks, said the regional director of the Anti-Defamation League. I want to see if he says anything else. Howard Libet, executive director of the Baltimore Jewish Council, said Thursday that the outburst was especially disturbing in the wake of shootings in a Pittsburgh synagogue that killed 11. We're all very sensitive and concerned in the wake of recent shootings, Libet said. Shouting that seems to be the equivalent of shouting fire in a theater or shouting bomb. So let's say, my guess is this could impact the theater bringing in patrons to see future productions of the show, right? That people could be leery to go to the theater going, I just read that story about the guy who yelled Heil Hitler during the show.
You don't know how some of these activities are the way that they're covered, and obviously this is something that a lot of people, including us, are talking about.
Right.
How it's going to influence the behavior, the actions of others. You look at some of those other situations, and they're obviously impacted, and they even share, they see this on the news, they're inspired this way or that way to get involved and do something, and you never know. There could be people out there that see this and say, like, well, he just didn't go one step further.
Right. Right, that's scary.
And I think in a world where you could choose to do a lot of different things, you might say, like, well, I think I'll just avoid that.
But have you ever been someplace? I've been in a couple of places where some sort of loud argument or something breaks out, and you just go, oh, boy, anything can happen now.
What's like a Blackhawks game?
No. I was at an airport once when a guy was complaining because he had been bumped from a flight, and he starts yelling and screaming, and I go, wow, what is this guy going to do next? He's just going crazy.
Right.
What is he capable of doing?
You know, now that you mention it, you think of it as, I never really put those together where there's an argument. I never think it's going to get accelerated to that.
Right.
To that next
but
level.
Your guard has
but
to
now
be on.
I think with all the new, it's just been more of a focus where you think, hey, at some point anybody could pull out a gun and just start shooting. You know, who knows what's going to, you know, kind of make people snap.
Right. Speaking of snapping, Judy Pylak will join us soon. She will give you the news. We'll talk to Judy. And when I say snapping,
like Beatnik.
I mean, she does Beatnik news for us every Monday. And then more of us, Dane and Bill, here on WGN. Judy, you can't stay, can you? You've
got
to attend to your party.
Yes, we're having a potluck.
Judy's having a potluck,
that.
You were saying.
I believe I did, yes.
All right.
I've got to go heat up the chili.
It's a legal potluck. You mentioned that, Bill. Legal.
I think
not
potluck
just for
will be legalized
purposes.
In all 50 states in the near future. That's what I think.
Yep.
We'll see what happens. We'll see how it plays out.
Good luck with that.
Have a good time over there.
Thank
and
you.
I'm not going to see you until after Thanksgiving.
You're
so
not
have
here
a
tomorrow?
Great I'm not here tomorrow.
Oh, all right.
Not
well,
here.
Goodbye. You have a great Thanksgiving, but I will see you next Monday.
Yeah. Tuesday for me. Taking a week
it
off.
It just goes on and on, right?
Yeah, maybe
I may never come back. I don't
Thursday
know.
Thursday
we'll
the 14th.
See.
Find
out. Yeah. At
really?
Some point in the future, we'll see each other.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye, Judy. Have a good party. Dane, I've told this story a little bit on the air, but it's finally coming up on Saturday, so I just want to share this with you. About two months ago, a restaurant, a great restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants in the city, Sabatino's, announced that they would be closing their doors forever on December 23rd. This made me very sad. I've had so many great meals at Sabatino's over the years. I had no idea they were even considering closing. In my head, this would be a restaurant that would exist forever. Why would you ever want to close Sabatino's? Always crowded, always delicious. The owners have said that they want to retire and their children don't want to carry the tradition on. So they're closing this legendary restaurant. So from the moment I heard it, I tried getting in. And they even said reservations are going to be few and far between. You know, we'll do what we can to accommodate as many diners, but sadly, we're closing soon, so there's only a certain amount of spots. We tried on several occasions to get reservations, could never do it. One night, my wife called. She called during the daytime and said, we've got four of us we want to get in, or six of us that day. There's six of us we want to get in. They go, all of our reservations are booked. They go, if you come in early, though, we can probably find a seat for you. So we got in at about 6:45. They said, we can get you in around 9:30, 9:45. That's a long time to wait. Wow. It's a great restaurant, but that's a long time to wait.
Yes.
So we said, no, we'll try it another time. We tried several other times. No luck. Finally, and I don't want to name names, but somebody who works here knows somebody who knows somebody. And they were able to secure a reservation for us for this Saturday, our final visit. I can't wait. But I'm going into this with this weird mixed emotion of, as much as I can't wait to have dinner there one more time, the sadness of knowing this place I've been going to for years, this will be my last meal there. Have you ever experienced anything like this?
Well, I think any time that you you get an opportunity to do something for the last time and then it's going to be going away, it's a little bittersweet, right?
You're gonna, sure.
Because you'll be able to enjoy. You almost wish you didn't know.
Yeah. Right?
You could go there and then maybe as you're leaving, they say, glad you had such a great meal.
Right.
We're closed.
Yeah.
You know, we'd lock the door behind you.
Yeah.
But you never know what's going to be the end. It's kind of sad to think that they couldn't find, but then again, with a lot of different restaurant situations, some of the success of it is that whole kind of family atmosphere, family vibe, and you can't necessarily just get somebody in to pick it up.
Right. Doesn't always translate.
And take it over. You remember Hot Dogs, a handful of years ago
with
Doug Stone, and that was one of those kind of the long goodbye thing. You're like, I'm going to quit.
Did Doug make his announcement that Hot Dogs was closing about a year in advance?
At least.
It was, right?
It felt like it was, maybe there was some rumblings, I want to do some other things and things like that. And then, because it's one of those deals where you look at it and you're like, well, why?
Yeah.
You know, everybody who goes into that kind of business, whether it's a Sabatino's or Hot Dogs, or you hope for the kind of admiration, success, you hope for the kind of love
right.
that you're getting here. And when you get it and then you have people kind of walk away from that, it's hard to understand. Now, maybe there's another situation that makes it, because the restaurant business, it's tough. It's one of those tough businesses, and all those great memories that you have, there's a lot of people that have to work late hours and weekends and all those kind of holidays and things. Maybe there's a way to sort of capture some of it and bring it into another venue. I know Doug has got a kind of a pop-up. He's got a in the bleachers at Wrigley Field, right? Where he does some of the same things.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's that. Or you look at the Berghoff, right? Where it closed and then it opened up again.
Yeah.
So maybe there'll be some kind of
I've thought about that. It's possible that they're doing that. And I'm going to try to get more information when we're there on Saturday and find out if there's some hope, some glimmer of hope.
Hey, I think it's a bad idea. Why don't you stick around? Oh, okay.
Right.
I'll talk about it.
Well, what interesting side story to this is people go, December 23rd, that's a weird time to close. They say that during their whole reign, while they were open, their staff always had to work on Christmas Eve and Christmas, and they didn't want to do that to them one more time, even though they were closing. So they said, this year, for the first time, you guys, because some of those people have been there for 15 and 20 and 30 years, you finally get to have a Christmas dinner with your families, enjoy yourselves and stuff like that. So that's a very nice approach to it. Now, my other place that was kind of like that was Stefani's, the old Phil Stefani's place. I love that place like crazy. That might have been my favorite Italian restaurant in the city. And I didn't know they were closing. And I wish they did, because I would have gone and tried to get in a couple more times. We just went there, and then a couple of weeks later, they weren't there anymore. They just closed up. And that was hard.
They're kind of a different situation, right? You don't have the entire kind of family energy kind of poured into one location. For Phil Stefani, he's got a restaurant group, right?
Right.
He opens places and closes places.
I think somebody just told me he opened up another Stefani somewhere.
Yeah.
I don't know where. I'll find it.
So if you've got, and it won't be the same place. You know, you think about like Italian Village, right? You know, it's right there. And if you put one in Schaumburg, it wouldn't be the same.
Right.
But if you're looking at something with Stefani's where you've got maybe certain dishes that you really know and love and they can just bring them someplace else, maybe you'll be able to close your eyes.
Right.
And imagine.
Pretend.
Right. That you're enjoying
the same thing. Why is that man eating with his eyes closed? He keeps missing his mouth. Why doesn't he try harder to get the food in his mouth? Yeah. So I'm so looking forward to Saturday, but at the same time, I'm very emotional, and it's probably going to be harder on me than the people who have worked there for 30 years.
Are you going to be that person where they'll say, like, hey, you need anything else? Maybe some more coffee? Yeah, can I get a warm-up here on my coffee? And you're like, can I see that dessert menu again?
I just want to keep things going.
How about
going?
Another appetizer?
They're one of the only places that still does Cherries Flambé at the table. You know, and I don't know if you've seen this, but it's a very dangerous move because you've got high flame in a restaurant that's filled with people darting in, people darting out, and then this high flame where they're making up the cherries and stuff like that. I'm shocked that the fire marshal even allows such a thing, but boy, is it tasty. Despite the fact that everyone's life is in danger by the making of my dessert, it's so good.
You think back in the 80s when the hair was a lot higher, I mean, right. The aquanet was there. There was probably some potential.
No women from New Jersey were allowed in the restaurant back then. There was a big sign on the front door.
It's going to be, were you going to take a lot of pictures? Are you going to do all that kind of stuff?
No, I'm somebody that doesn't normally take pictures of almost anything,
but
and
this
it probably
is a special
would
occasion.
Be. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I'll see how it plays out. Now, here's my other question to you. We had Akilah Easter in the other day. Akilah is she's like a modern day Miss Manners. You know, she knows in any given situation how best to handle things. And we were talking about
like etiquette in general.
Etiquette in general. Yeah, I think that's the best way to say it. Etiquette in general. Yeah. You nailed
that would also be the title, like Postmaster General.
Right. If she is assigned a post by the government, I think right. Etiquette in General would be her post. Yeah. All right. So I posed this question to her. I said, what do you do on Thanksgiving when you got a table full of people and some of them think one way politically and some of them think other ways politically? Is it fair when you have relatives coming over for the holidays to say, oh, by the way, we're going to try this. No political discussion whatsoever. I don't want any fights at the house. I just want everything to go peaceful or try to make it go peacefully. So we're not going to discuss anything political. Do you think that's a viable option or is that just a dream?
Well, maybe a dream, but it's one you should try to aspire to, right? Because there's just no way it just can't end well. And I think it isn't one of those things on the policy side. Well, I think things should be more like this, or maybe wouldn't it be great if things were like that?
Yeah,
you're seeing, and I think we may have. I'll actually be doing an hour on Thanksgiving, and we may have a psychologist come in and kind of get with that dynamic because now maybe more than ever before. You know, you're going to see some real conflict.
Sure.
You know, some.
No doubt about it.
And I think you just got to focus on something else. I just think you don't.
Right.
You don't talk about it unless everybody's on the same page.
Right. And that's almost impossible now.
You know. And if it isn't, well, good for you. But I still think that it's just those are the kind of things, you know, whether it's that or whether it's religion, there's a couple of those third rails that can just get people off of the, hey, isn't it great to be here?
You know what I realized years ago? You're never going to really change anybody's mind about politics or religion. I mean, you can discuss it, you can argue about it, you can scream about it, but when it's all said and done, nobody's ever going to walk away going, wow, I really believe this strongly, but after that discussion, now you've won me over. That just doesn't happen, does it? You can try to make it happen. I don't think you can be successful.
You can bring a whole duffel bag full of MAGA hats, and you might not be handing them all out.
You get a hat, and you get a hat, and you get a hat.
Well, you never know, and you're right? Because a lot of those conflicts and those arguments are the kind of arguments that are made all day, every day.
Yeah.
So people are usually pretty armed and ready to go with, like, this is terrible.
Back when my father-in-law was still with us, he used to love...
You know, whatever you think.
Right. He used to love to stir things up. Right. You would always hear like a meal would start with everybody would sit down. He would lead us in prayer. The prayer never took. I would always go, I prayed for something. It never happens. Why doesn't this ever work? And he always go, well, your guy got himself in trouble again. And I don't know who that is. I don't know who my guy is, but he always did. Well, your guy said something. It was kind of disturbing again this week. So like. There are always certain people at the family table.
So you're on your heels defending somebody right away.
10 seconds in. Oh, we're going to talk about my guy? I don't know who my guy is. Who is he?
It's like a quick...
Remind me who it is.
Quick conversational
sucker
punch.
You know who I mean. Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy? Damn. Really? No, but there's always somebody there that is kind of a rebel rouser that knows they'll get a little bit of extra attention by talking about things. And that's why, like, I know how much I believe me. I got so many texts the other day. How can you not like Thanksgiving? That's one of the reasons is there's always that weird underlying tension of people who see things a different way. So I wish there was some more peaceful way to say, détente. We'll be friends for this meal, okay?
Well, I think the ground rules are an important thing to do. People sometimes they kind of tiptoe around just even bringing up the idea of that there should be some like conversational ground rules, or let's just not like worry about that stuff. Let's worry about other stuff. I think you just need to be upfront with it and just say, hey, let's not talk about these other things, or just be that sort of conversational bullfighter. And if the uncle comes up, just immediately are like, oh yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Right.
Or, who cares about the, you know, just don't get in there in that defensive position, because it always seems to escalate. And as you know, if there's a few cocktails, you know, happening at the same time, you know, things can get touchy.
This is why, Dane, when given the choice, I would almost always pick sitting at the kids' table as opposed to the adults' table, because, you know, the conversation at the kids' table is so much more pure and honest. Politics rarely comes up when you're sitting at the kids' table. Every once in a while, somebody will talk about something political, but hardly ever. And even when they do, it's only for a second. So put me at the kids' table. So much better at the kids' table.
Yeah. I mean, the food's typically the same, right?
So. Right. Actually, there's better food sometimes. Because they have peanut, the kids always have peanut allergies. I don't know why. We invite kids over who have peanut allergies. I don't think they're related to any of us. I don't know who they are.
Well, I think in the effort to be all inclusive, you need a kid, because that's a bigger demographic than ever these days. Peanut allergy kid.
Right.
Unbelievable.
Do you have at your Thanksgiving dinner? Do you have the television on during the dinner? Because I'm finding more and more people go, well, you can't miss the football game, and I don't know which. Forgive me for not knowing this, but at the beginning of the show, I confess to this. I'm just now starting to appreciate the Bears of this season.
You're back.
I know they're playing Thursday, but I don't know if it's the early game, the middle game, or the late game. Do you?
I do not know that, but I know
that game is on
the Lions
during dinner, during people's dinner, which, because it's Thanksgiving, can be anywhere from 10 a.m. to 3 in the morning. It's almost all day long. You know, there's people who are going to go, the Bears game's on. The Bears game has to be on during dinner.
I think maybe, of course, it's up to everybody to decide what they're doing. Sometimes you want a sort of a dining room that's sequestered from other kinds of interruptions or distractions. And then sometimes I think it's okay, especially if you're invested in the outcome of the game, to go ahead and have maybe a TV on with the sound down.
Oh, that's interesting.
But then when somebody are just staring at that TV the whole time.
Right. Did you have people in your family do that? Because I remember there was more than one member of my family who would angle themselves.
So what's going on, Larry? And he's like, huh, what?
What's going on? There's 3:18 left in the first half. That's what's going on. Right. Give me a yam.
Right. They're not covering the spread. That's what's going on.
Are any of the foods we're eating, and I only ask you this because in my circle of friends, you are the food expert. Are there any of the foods that most people are eating now for Thanksgiving really foods that were there on those first few Thanksgivings, or is that all just a myth?
You've got to think some of the vegetables were, right? But then there's also things that just didn't exist, you know, that just weren't part of that.
Because you understand, because a lot of people will fight you on this, it probably wasn't those first few Thanksgivings, despite the fact that we all believe, they all had turkey. The pilgrims, they brought turkey. No, they didn't, right?
It was probably like deer, like venison, or maybe muskrats or groundhogs.
Now you're talking.
Squirrels, 13-line ground squirrel. Who knows what it was? Either way, it was probably terrible, right? And then
Hot Pockets? Do you think it might have been Hot Pockets?
I think if you look closely at some of those oil, some Gino's pizza rolls, you could just make out the logo.
Steakums?
Salisbury steak. Steakums would have been there for sure. But for sure,
Totino's pizza rolls.
I think the ancient Hot Pocket would have been there. You know, there's an Indian term. I'm not familiar with exactly what it was, but but it was along those same lines. I think they all got together. I think the idea was, and who knows, right? You've seen those shows where it's like history revisited and they say, well, all the things we think were true never actually happened.
Probably didn't happen.
I hope it was, hey, let's decide not to kill each other today. Let's get together.
Let's make this the one day. And that's the lesson we can learn for the relatives.
And maybe it's because we're exhausted from killing each other every other day. Or maybe something, you know, something good happened and like, let's just, you know, hang out and have some food. And it stuck.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah. I think that's when I dissect why I'm not thrilled with the holiday, and there's a bunch of reasons, and I try my best. I really do, because people get so mad whenever I talk about this at Thanksgiving. Hey, we all love Thanksgiving. How can you not love Thanksgiving? It's the best. I'm sure it is for a lot of people, but it's the fact that it's so much food, and it's so, I mean, there's just food and food and food and food and food, and I believe me, I eat food every day, but not to that extent. You know,
Bill, like, it's called a horn of plenty, not a horn of almost nothing. You know, so
horn of a few,
horn of just a little bit.
Right, right.
And I think it's partly they just, you know, you want to get together. It's the abundance.
Is it too gluttonous?
It's totally gluttonous.
It is, right?
It's indulgent and yes. gluttonous. And but I think you temper it by having foods that maybe you're using to observe the day, as opposed to things that you would eat at other times of the year, like the green bean salad and some of those things. So the cranberry sauce in a can.
Yeah.
I like it, but I don't...
Pilgrims had that, right?
They had it. They told
cranberry sauce.
Except the can was made of wood.
Del Monte's wood edition of cranberry sauce.
It was all.
I always think, you know that scene in A Christmas Story where Randy, the younger brother, Ralphie's younger brother...
Yes, I know.
...is sitting at the table and they go, how does the piggy eat?
How does the piggy eat?
That's, to me, that's Thanksgiving, is everybody at the table being Randy.
Just burying your face in some mashed potatoes.
Yes, and I mean the name Randy, by the way, for people who are listening going, wait, what's going on at your house at Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
But I just picture everybody like jumping in on the food like that.
The snorty noises and all that. Well, I think once you maybe have, because people put so much time into all of the things that they're doing, and if you're hosting it, maybe you've got like the decor, everything, table setting, you've got a bunch of that stuff going on. So I think you want to be good for like that first bit, but as you mentioned, Bill, you know, it can be multiple sittings, right? It's maybe maybe three different like dinners or whatever.
Seems a little much.
I think all bets are off after that first one. I think you recognize, wow, this looks really nice.
Wow, we haven't eaten in 35 minutes. We got to get more food.
And then you bury your head into the mashed potatoes.
Right. That seems healthy. Thanks, Dane. We'll take a little break. We'll come back and we'll close it up. It's Bill and Dane in for Wendy on WGN. You know what, Dane? That's it. There's no more show.
There'll be more.
There'll be more, but not today.
That's right.
We have to stop.
You got
to
keep them wanting more. If we just kept going, they'd never
They would
build
say,
up,
you this know, show's been going on way
forever.
Too long.
Yeah.
It's got to stop. All right. Thank you for filling in today.
Oh, no. It was awesome. Thanks so much, Bill.
You did a nice job. It's always fun to talk to you. Wendy will be back on Tuesday, not this upcoming Tuesday. Well, tomorrow's Tuesday. A week from tomorrow. I will also be back a week from tomorrow. So you guys, the rest of you, you have to fend for yourselves. I don't know who's coming in. No, they won't tell me who's coming in. Big names. Well, giant names.
Just tune in and find out.
Yeah, that's the key to this. It's a new mystery every day. Wow, dang, nicely played.
Same.
It was very nicely played. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoy your holiday. Bye, Dane.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.